You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. And Wayne, I was just sort of reflecting. I like a bit of action here and there. You know, it's, broadcasters thrive on market movements, whether they be excessively up and usually excessively down. That's the most exciting part. But it's just that the markets just keep on going up to record highs. And when I say the markets, I'm talking about US markets in particular, the S&P, and at extraordinary levels, 5,850 plus. And yeah, but it's nice to be bored occasionally.
Yes, bored. There's nothing wrong with being bored. In fact, you know, I've always maintained in investments, you only got to make, I don't know, three big decisions a year. And that's all. The rest of the time, you can just literally sit on the beach,
yeah,
and keep up to date with everything and read and talk to people. There's literally three, maybe even fewer, maybe only two big decisions a year you've got to make in investments. But I suppose we all want to feel useful and we all want to look busy. So we end up making far too many decisions, investment decisions in a year because you feel, well, I've got to do something. I'm getting paid for this. So you feel you've got to do something. And it's actually, and everyone falls into that trap. And it's actually wrong. There are literally maybe two decisions a year that you should be making in investment. The rest of the time, you can just leave your stuff. As long as you have a nicely diversified portfolio, you can literally just leave it.
Well, this is very interesting because you're talking about looking busy. I deal with large financial institutions. And I find that the PR people, I think they're so, the marketing people are so scared of losing their jobs and being seen to be doing nothing that they create their own problems. I mean, I'll send an interview to somebody, for example, and then they'll pick it apart and say, can we do this and do that? Because it's their LBK, it's their look busy kit. And so they look as though, in the eyes of their bosses, that they've been doing something when they don't need to do anything. Everything's fine. Move on to something else.
Yeah, I've had two things where you're talking about looking busy story.
Mm.
I remember once going to Fidentia's head office in Cape Town at the, what's that big shopping center sort of where they had the Ratanga Junction, Canal Walk.
Oh, yes, exactly, yes.
Sort of a little bit out of, you know, sort of away from the beach, you know, near the old Air Force base.
Right.
And the head office was there. And I can remember walking in there. And there were just a whole lot of people looking busy.
Yeah.
Not sure they were doing anything, but they looked busy. And then every corner had a beautiful arrangement of flowers on it. And then a bowl of Godiva chocolates that you could just help yourself to as you walk past.
Which you did, of course.
Which I certainly did. So I would have hated to have worked. I would have hated to work there with Godiva chocolates all around. But yeah. And then the second one, talking about PR people looking busy, I once did a presentation for another big listed financial services company. They invited me to give a presentation. So I said, yeah, great. No, fine. I'll go along. And I did my presentation. Now, very typical, I suppose, of an accountant. You know, everything was red and black. You know, you could see everything. It was quite clear the points I wanted to make and the graphs. So this company's PR people said, can they get my presentation? Because they just want to give it their look and feel.
Ah, there you go.
There, it came back. I went with the first presentation, actually toured the country. First presentation was in Durban. And stupidly, I didn't think, I said to them, have you changed anything on my presentation? No, they haven't. I go and put it up and everything is in pastel colors.
Oh, so you've gone from red and black to pastel. Okay.
Yeah, you can't see the writing because it's white on pale blue. And in a big hall, you know, it looks fine in a computer screen, you know, half a meter away from your face. But, you know, at the end of a 60-meter hall, you literally couldn't read what was on the slides and you couldn't see the graphs. And I just thought, you know, the people who design, a lot of people who design these presentations have never actually given one in a big venue. I've also maintained, I mean, this is completely beside the point from investments, that people who design conference venues have never presented at a conference. You know, the podium's always in the wrong place. The screen is too far behind you or too close to you. It's astonishing. Or the people who design all these things have never actually done it. Anyway, yeah, that's another point.
Well, I mean, the whole presentation thing is very interesting because the first time I was MC of an event was for Telcom, and it was at the Hilton in Sandton. And apparently I did very well, and people laughed, and, you know, I was accomplished in, you know, presenting the awards and all that sort of nonsense. And then I got an invitation by somebody else because of my performance at the Telcom thing, and I said, yeah, sure, I'll do that. It was somewhere, it was, again, somewhere in Sandton, but it was during the meal. So I came on at, like, 7:30 or something, and
yeah.
The waiters were serving people all the time. So I've got all these waiters and waitresses buzzing around all the time, and nobody was listening. They were munching on their food. And I got distracted. Yeah. I couldn't perform properly. No one was listening to me. And the next day, when they said, well, you weren't very good, Lindsay. I said, well, hello. Have you ever presented when, you know, there's so much kerfuffle going on in front of you? And they said, we're only going to pay you half your fee. I said, I'll tell you what, just give half to charity. I don't want it. So people don't understand, Wayne. You're absolutely right. Because they have to put their stamp on it, you see. That's what the whole colour change thing tells me. They need to look busy.
It's happened to me on many occasions when the food comes out and... Ach, yeah, you just carry on, and if that's what they want you to do, and
I didn't. I'm sensitive to these things. Anyway, how are the markets treating you? Because as I keep saying, they just keep grinding on higher and higher, despite geopolitics. I've been watching a lot of Donald Trump, and he's becoming more and more unhinged with every speech that he makes. He was dancing for 39 minutes yesterday. He danced on stage for 39 minutes without saying a word.
Yeah, I must say, well, he's got more energy than what I've got, because I certainly wouldn't be able to dance for 39 minutes, and I can promise you no one would want to see me dance.
No, that would be unacceptable. I mean,
Definitely not.
You don't strike me as a dancer. But anyway, he danced for 39 minutes, and he's a bad dancer, but he's 78. I don't think he's had a drop of alcohol in his life, so he's probably, I don't know, He's probably fitter than most people, apart from his...
At 78,
Overweight, at 70, 80 years. Then you've got...
Yeah, but look, he's not as fit as Shapiro at 78.
He's 75, isn't he?
Well, I thought he's in his late 80s already.
No, we're going to have a chat with him in 2 weeks' time, as you know, at an event which is yet to be unveiled. But, we'll challenge him on that. I thought he was 70... I thought he was 75.
No, I'm only teasing. Yeah. I'm only teasing.
Yeah, but it's not 78. But no, he'll go on into his... He'll become a nonagenarian.
Yeah.
Which I hope I never get to. Anyway, how are markets treating you?
Yeah, look, overall, fairly well, actually.
Good.
I mean, you know, as I emphasise, and as I've done today already, you know, we've got a well-diversified portfolio. We've got all the right overseas exposure. We've got the local exposure, so we've done very well out of our banking shares locally. Some of our retailers have done well. Our overseas shares, I mean, we've got all the shares that you should have.
Yeah.
Our Naspers and Prosus have done quite well for us, yeah? The only negative is our platinum exposure. It's not massive, but it's sitting.
But is it poised for greatness? Or is it just going to stay there because of the fact that people don't know where the demand is coming from? I mean, the supply is fairly well documented, but where's the next big leg up for demand?
Well, look, you never know. You know, global growth. There are a couple of positives. Hopefully, global growth picks up. Hopefully, China stabilizes. I'm talking specifically platinum now and palladium, not other metals, because the Chinese stimulus program, even though they been very hesitant about giving actual details of it. Let's put that aside for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The emphasis seems to be to support the local municipalities to become solvent again, because they're insolvent. and to give them money to buy up excess property in the system and absorb the excess. So it's highly unlikely that this stimulus package will prompt massive new building growth. So that's not good for iron ore and stuff like that. But platinum and palladium, there are some quite positive factors. The mines are cutting back on production. It's happening, and more of that is coming.
Hmm.
The electric vehicle takeoff seems to have stalled quite substantially. And, you know, there should be some pent-up demand for new car sales, because that also hasn't been performing hugely well. I mean, it's not bad, but it hasn't been performing hugely well. And lower interest rates will actually help that quite a lot. So when you talk about America, I mean, the average age of the car is quite high in relation to their past. So there should be some pent-up demand there at lower interest rates for people to go and buy cars. And they're not buying electric, so they're either buying hybrid or just normal internal combustion engines. And that's all very good for platinum and palladium. So I think we'll just see a normal cycle, yeah? I mean, the palladium and rhodium prices aren't going anywhere near their previous highs. I mean, those were absolutely astonishing levels that. But, you know, they can go up a good $300-$400, same as, you know, platinum can go up another $200, $300. And that all falls to the bottom line, obviously, with the platinum companies. And the shares aren't discounting that. So I still think there's opportunity, even though I've been wrong on this, I still think there's opportunity in the medium term for these shares. So that's been our only real disappointment. Otherwise, we've done okay, yeah.
Good, and long may that continue, Wayne. Now, that's the market sorted out, because there's really nothing more to say apart from everything's fine, and yeah, it's grinding its way higher, which is nice. Now, last week I quizzed you on your favourite source of protein in the form of animals slain in anger, and you mentioned that it would be. Well, actually, you're quite forceful in your endorsement of lamb as your favourite meat, and I've immediately started thinking about it, of course. So I went to my butcher the next day. This is a lamb-growing region where I live. Lots of farms, lots of lambs running around. And he had the most beautiful, delicate lamb cutlets I'd ever seen. Not the big, great big thick ones, but little small ones, and nicely cut and everything, and bought some of those. And what I did was, Wayne, was I took a skillet. And in the skillet, I put a couple of glugs of olive oil and a handful of herbs, mainly thyme and rosemary, and also took four cloves of garlic, smashed them. I didn't chop them or anything. I just smashed them, peeled them, etc., and put the herbs and the garlic into the oil and simmered that concoction gently for around about 15, 20 minutes. So what happened was that the oil, and stirring it occasionally as well, the oil was infused with the flavour of the herbs and the garlic. Then I removed the herbs and the garlic and cast it aside, threw it away, and then I griddled the chops themselves, and they took on the flavour of the oil. And I have to say, it was just quite incredible. It was lovely and pink, and I had a bowl of buttered, salted green beans with it as well, and I was in heaven. And I briefly thought of you, but not for long.
No, that does sound delicious. Unfortunately, something like that just makes you hungry. But yeah, I did something that I haven't tried out before.
What's that then?
Is I sort of made my own shashuka at home for breakfast.
Oh, that's the egg thing with yeah. Go on. Anyway,
with tomato and herbs and stuff. So I thought, well, how can I do this lot? I thought a bit about it. So I got some chorizo.
Yes.
I got some. I got a lamb sausage. I fried the lamb sausage first until it was almost done, and then I got a tin of chakalaka.
Yes,
I put that with a bit of olive oil in a frying pan. I added lots of garlic. I added herbs and spices. I added some peri peri sauce from my favorite restaurant in the whole world, and that's the Honey Rock Motel. They sell your peri peri sauce there by the liter. And I put in a fair amount of peri-peri. I added some salt and some pepper. I also got some mixed herbs.
Nice. Just
actually quite a bit of mixed herbs in there. I put two pinches of Cape Malay curry powder into it, and I cooked that all up, and the onions and the tomato and everything went extremely well. And then I poached 2 eggs in boiling water.
Yes.
And made sure they didn't go hard, and put that in the shashuka when it was all ready, and made myself a couple of slices of toast, and it was totally delicious.
Sounds...
You know, I cut up the lamb sausage into little pieces.
Yes.
And put that in. That finished up cooking, and I put in a few pieces of chorizo, and it was actually delicious. And I grated some feta cheese on top.
So wait a second, you got lamb sausage, you got poached eggs, you got the tomatoes and all sorts of herbs and spices and peri-peri sauce. And at the end, what did you say you did? What was the last ingredient? Because I've lost track now.
Put some crumbled feta on top.
And some feta on top. Because it's a feast, Wayne. That was breakfast,
yeah,
right?
Delicious. Yeah, and it's nice and spicy. It's a real sort of... Look, whether this is actually shashuka or not, I don't know. I just called it that.
Well, it is. But,
you know, it's a Mid-Eastern spicy breakfast. And, I mean, I've had shashuka plenty of times at restaurants, and mine did taste a little different, but I still enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I've got a book by Yota Motolenghi, which has a delicious shashuka dish, but yours actually sounds... It sounds actually more delicious. So congratulations. Well done. Okay, Wayne. Well,
yeah,
it was
nice, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is a slightly shorter than the usual Wayne on Wednesday, but that's a good thing because there's nothing really to talk about apart from the delicious food. And as usual, I'm starting to drool a little bit, so I'll let you go. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. Back next week. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.